So much for hot. What about cold? Why was the southern state of Georgia last week covered in ice? Why is cold Arctic air ducking down where it shouldn't be? At the AAAS, Professor Jennifer Francis gave an idea of what may be happening.
What we think is going on is that we know the Arctic is warming much faster than the mid-latitudes are, down here where all the people live. And the difference in temperature between the Arctic, which of course is cold, and the areas farther south, which are warmer, is one of the main drivers of this fast-moving river of wind over our heads that we call the jet stream. This jet stream is really the controller of all of the weather that happens in mid-latitudes. So it forms the boundary between the cold air to the north, the warm air to the south, and then the waves, the north-south waves in that jet stream, are in fact determining whether you're in a wet pattern, a stormy pattern, or a cold-dry pattern, or any combination of those. So what we're seeing is the Arctic is warming much faster, this temperature difference is getting smaller. This is causing the west-to-east winds of the jet stream to get weaker. We know that when this happens, the jet stream tends to take a wavier path. Bigger north-south swings occur as it travels around the northern hemisphere. We also know that when these waves get bigger like that, they tend to shift eastward more slowly. And because they're creating the weather that we feel down here on the surface, that means that the weather that we feel is going to stick around longer. So if it's hot and sunny and dry, then it's going to do that longer. Or if it's stormy and cold, then it's going to do that longer. So it really just depends on where you are relative to one of these waves. But the point is, we think that these waves are actually getting larger. We're starting to see some evidence this is really happening. And that means that they will shift more slowly from west to east and create very persistent weather patterns like the one we've seen this past winter in the northern hemisphere, which has been very, very persistent.
And you've got freezing temperatures going down south to Georgia, even to Florida. You know, you can imagine these loops of air zooming down from the Arctic frozen air, you know, making things unbelievably cold. So you'd expect to see that on a regular basis from now on.
Well, what we expect to see are these big swings northward and southward of the jet stream. And if you happen to be in one of these big southward dips, then that allows the cold air from the Arctic to plunge farther southward than perhaps it normally would. But at the same time, we know that the air generally around the globe is warming. And as I said, the Arctic is warming even faster. So that Arctic air that comes down from the north won't be as cold on average. And so while we expect to see these cold spells become more frequent and more persistent, the air that's in them probably won't be as cold, and so we won't be breaking cold temperature records as often in the future. So we see hot temperature records broken much more often now than cold temperature records, and this is what we'd expect.
And what is your work? What is your research in this field?
Well, my work is looking for these expected patterns in the jet stream, so looking for these waves getting larger, trying to find out whether this hypothesis of ours is actually starting to show up in the real world or not.
Is it correct to call it a polar vortex?
Well, the polar vortex has come into the public discussion recently, but in fact it's been around forever, you know, pretty much ever since anybody started looking at the weather. And really all it is the cold air that tends to be sequestered over both the Arctic and the Antarctic. It's surrounded by the jet stream, and that's really all it is. And so somebody called it the polar vortex this past early January when a particularly cold blob of air came down from the Arctic and invaded the very populated cities of the United States and caused a lot of complaining, and so this got a lot of media hype.
A final question. I've made it my business to avoid booking planes around this time, January, February, early March, either in Europe or in North America, where it's normally cold, in other words, the east coast of the United States. Is this a good plan?
Well, if you can avoid traveling in the winter, it's always a good plan because, you know, snow and things like that are apt to make a mess of the airline system. But, you know, the summer's almost as bad because you've got thunderstorms and things like that. So I think you just have to plan your travel and hope that nothing happens.
We're in a new regime.
Yeah, and really the new regime, the biggest problem is the fact that all the planes are so full now, is that if you are bumped off of your flight, you're probably not going to get on another one for 4 or 5 days.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Planes again, uncertainty in the air. And one of the best explanations of Jennifer Francis's research is in The Economist magazine this week, with plenty of coverage of the big AAAS meeting in Chicago. Professor Francis is at Rutgers.